Okay, this whole week was really about here is the way, walk in it, which is really kind of the short definition of really, what it really means to follow the Lord. Try and find out what God wants you to do and then walk in that way. But it's a lot easier to say it in a little verse than it is to really live it, isn't it? It's really, like Mike was saying, it's really difficult to not get distracted. And you think that it's, these little children, we're trying to teach them how to, like, okay, follow. Here's how you follow the Lord. Here's how you try not to get distracted. And their lives haven't even gotten complicated like you people, like a lot of you. Your life gets pretty complicated as we move along. So there's some, they need a lot of help, and we're trying to provide that help, and with your help, teach them how to walk in that way and stay in that direction. So kids, I'm going to do the sing-along song, and so it's up to you to make sure the adults with you kind of do their part, okay? Well, you got to walk that lonesome valley. You got to walk it by yourself. Nobody here gonna walk it for you. You gotta walk it by yourself. Now, kids, could you hear the adults? I can hardly hear them, right? Okay. Okay, so adults, you gotta stand up with them. Okay, stand up. This won't hurt you. I don't want you to stroke or anything from sitting too long. Okay, sing really loud, kids. This is your chance. You know what singing is? It's controlled yelling. Well, you gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta walk it by yourself. Ain't nobody here gonna walk it for you. You gotta walk it by yourself. Well, Daniel was a Bible hero. He was a prophet, tried and true. Well, in a den of hungry lions, he proved what faith can do for you. Sing it now, hell, you gotta walk that lonesome valley. You gotta walk it by yourself. Hey, nobody here gonna walk it for you. You gotta walk it by yourself. Well, you gotta walk it by yourself. Go and be seated. Nice job. Okay. And that's really the essence of what we've been trying to tell them this week, is that at some point they've got to learn how to make their own decision of faith, figure out what God wants them to do, and then walk in that way. But they can't do it by themselves. And so there's some ingredients. There are some essential things that kids need in order to be those strong people, to really be the kind of people God wants them to be. And so I'm gonna list those out pretty quickly. Number one thing, well, let me start with this question. How many of you had a mother? Okay, the rest of you were planted here by aliens. But anyway, everybody, beyond being having a biological mother, one of the essential ingredients for strong kids is you need to have a mom who's involved in your life. Somebody who's willing to, and maybe that's your biological mom, or maybe it's somebody else that God's put in your life. But one of the keys that we see throughout Scripture, one of the reasons why it says to honor your mother, is because father and mother, but is because they have this central role in your life for shaping you, especially through their involvement. Second essential ingredient for strong kids is, well, how many of you had a dad? Come on, I mean, give me a little bit, okay? Obviously, you had a dad, but it's more than just a biological person. You know, there's this need that God has placed in our experience that we have somebody to help us know how to live our lives, somebody to participate in our lives. As a matter of fact, the more than just a biological dad, the key element that they teach all through, you know, basically in all the social sciences, both were for parents, for moms and dads, but attentiveness. The more attentive you are, the more you pay attention as a father or a grandfather or as a father figure, the better off it is. You know, the Bible says grandchildren are a crown of old men, and the glory of their sons is their father's. In other words, there's a tremendous sense of like your own identity that oftentimes comes from your relationship to the fathers in your life, and particularly your father. Now, I know that a lot of you would maybe take issue with that. You'd say, you know, my dad didn't do that, or I didn't have a dad, or, you know, that my dad was this. You know, a lot of people, as I said last week, have a lot of father issues, you know. But the fact that this is an issue ought to say what I'm trying to say to you. Dads are really important. That's why we got issues. And so it's really important for you, if you're a dad, starting from this point on, to say, look, I want to work in the direction of being that attentive person in the life of the kids around, in the lives of those kids that are around my life. And then the third ingredient is, look, your kids need God. They need a relationship with the Lord. We're in a society now that is, in modern society, where people get in these epic arguments about, is the primary makeup of, you know, the outcome of kids' lives determined by nurture, or is it determined by nature? Is it their genetic makeup, or is it the way they're raised? And probably most people agree that it's some combination, some percentage of both. But there's a third ingredient, because what we've come to realize is that we kind of look at people and even ourselves like we're like this closed system, like we're just like a jar with a lid on it, and then we, whatever we've got, nurture and nature, whatever comes out of that is going to just be all up to us. But the Bible teaches that there's more to it than that, that God literally does not want you just to work it out with some precepts. God wants to literally enter into that life, enter into your life, and help you become the person that you need to be strong, the strong person. You know, the Bible talks about this idea of a relationship with God as like we're growing, like we're a growing thing. Psalm 52:8 says, "But as for me, I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the loving kindness of God forever and ever." You know, let me ask you a question. When is it that people really change? When they really change. I don't mean their parents made them do it, or the police made them do it. When is it that people really change? What's that? Well, sometimes it's when they hurt enough, when they have enough pain. But even that pain doesn't always make people change, does it? Okay, but I've made decisions before and I didn't change very quick. Well, sometimes you think it's pressure or it's pain, but I'm going to tell you, it's much simpler than that. It's irrefutable law of human nature, number 63. I don't know why I picked 63. It's because it's just random. But anyway, people do what they want. And when you really want to change, even if it's hard, even if it's difficult, even if it's grueling and it's time-consuming, change will begin to take place. The problem is, a lot of times, why do people change when they're in pain? Because the pain of staying where they are is worse than the pain of changing. But here's the thing. Why do kids need God? Because even little kids need somebody to change their want-tos. And that's what God does, just like you and me. We need God to change what we want to do, to give us a desire to do the right thing from the inside out. This is what Paul said, "For it is God who is at work in you, inside of you, both to will and to work his good pleasure." That means God changes your will, that all of a sudden the things that you knew you should do, but you really didn't want to do because they were hard, all of a sudden you have a will to do it, and he gives you the strength to do it. And did you know that children need God, just like you and me? Children need God because, and they have to learn how to decide for themselves, to depend on him, but he will help them. This week I was working with one of the classes. I love these little guys, you know, little boys, and I asked one of the workers, I said, "How's your week going?" I got like 25 kids, and I got a whole bunch of boys, and it was a lady worker, and she was like, I could see she looked pretty frazzled, and I said, she said, you think you might be able to talk to him if I need you? And I said, okay, I'm with it. So one day I was out by the playground, there's two boys out there, and she gave me this, like, would you come? Well, actually, she was carrying this kid, and physically carrying him, you know, and he was a pretty much a handful. And I said, well, what's going on? And she said, well, you just need to talk to these two boys. They're having an issue. They're fighting with each other. So I sat down with this little guy. He's an awesome kid. He's super tenderhearted. And his feelings had been hurt, you know, because somebody, I don't know, took a toy or something. And I said, what's going on here? And he goes like this. He points at that kid. That kid in the blue shirt, he makes me so angry. And he just turned red all over, you know. And I thought, you know, he reminds me of some of my adult clients this week, you know. Just a little version. He hasn't quite gotten it yet. And what I'm trying to tell you is, he is a really sweet kid, but why was he so mad? Because his heart, he was really sensitive. His heart was really sensitive. And so I called the other kid over, and it was an argument over a cardboard box, some epic issue, you know, like kind of like some adult bigger issues aren't that big a deal. But and what do we do? Well, I said, you know, this is what the Lord wants you to do. You got to apologize. You shouldn't handle it this way. You can't go on being mad at this guy. You're going to have to forgive him. And they kind of, you know, pretty soon they were over there, I don't know, rolling around on the ground, doing something else. They'd forgotten all about it. But the fact is that that's how we learn. This earlier we start this journey on how to really love other people and how to really relate to other people the way God wants us to, the better. And, you know, when kids have a problem like that, we tend to minimize it because it's a kid-sized problem. But to them, it's huge, right? It's the biggest thing ever. And then as we get older, our problems are more like adult-sized problems. They're more complicated. But the same lessons we learn, our faith grows in that way in our relationship with God. God helps kids with their little problems, and as our faith grows, that little kid faith of a 10-year-old won't sustain you at 30, but hopefully you've grown, your faith has grown to be able to depend on God for these bigger things. It's a journey throughout their life. And so the fourth thing I really believe is essential, and I know that some of you are going to think this is, you know, like shameless opportunism, but I really do believe this, and so it's not just a pitch. And I really believe that kids, to be really healthy, need a church. They really do. They need a church. And for you guys and your family, this might not be the fit for you. You're going to have to find where that's going to be, what's going to be best for you. But here's what the Bible says, one of the purposes of the church in 1 Thessalonians 5:11. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you also are doing. The purpose of being in a church is not so you can just be and, you know, have all kinds of information. The purpose of the church is so that your relationships with one another actually build each other up and encourage each other and work. And in the, of course, what Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, they were doing that. They were getting the job done. You know, church is living in an intentional community with other people. It's not a commitment to hang out with perfect people. It is living for God, is living to love God by doing what? By learning how to love other people as we rely on the Lord. And so your kids will be involved in a church, and they will learn how to relate to other kids and kids that annoy them and kids that take their cardboard box and kids that but within a context where people are going to kind of encourage them to resolve their issues in a godly and healthy way. There's mentorship. Mike mentioned all these camps. Our camps are really unique. We have our kids camp, and I would encourage you, if your kids can go and if you can be a part of that, that would be great. Our kids camp, you notice how many youth we have involved in the slideshow. You see all our youth. Our youth, we have great young people that take these weeks out of the summer, out of their summer vacation, and they get trained. They do like 3 or 4 months of training. They're interviewed as a pretty significant process of becoming a Yes Team member. And then they work in VBS with kids all week long. And then if they've done really well in VBS, they go to our kids camp, where they basically are responsible for kids all week. They have an adult supervisor, but they do all the work. They do all the, they run the whole camp. And our desire is to help them start learning that process of living for God by learning how to love God by loving other people. And it's a lot of those kids come through kids camp, and then they want to be Yes Team members and go back. And we've been doing this for about a dozen years, and God's really used it. And then the last thing I would just say is this. You know what the best thing you can give your kids? A wise lady, somebody asked her, what is the most important thing you gave your kids? And she said, the best gift you can give your kids is a childhood. Give your children a childhood. Give your child a childhood. That's a great gift. Let them be a kid. You know, there's so much pressure on kids to grow up and to get into all the stuff and deal with all of these epic problems. And as much as you can, provide the space for your kid to be a child, to have a childhood. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw near, when you will say, I have no delight in them. Hey, while your kids have a chance to be kids, give them the opportunity to do it, to explore and to learn and to be involved in things. And then I know that some of you are sitting there and you think, well, that's great. You need a dad, you need a mom, you need this. Your situation, that doesn't seem right. Maybe your dad, your kid's dad or the kid's parents are not in their life. And you say, I'm a single parent, and how's that going to work? You know, I just want to say that you can grow corn in less than perfect soil. You just might have to work at it a little bit more. You might have to add some things to it along the side. And you know, my experience was, I grew up in a single parent family. My mom died when I was 10 and of cancer, and my dad, he didn't know what to do, and he just went to work, and there were four of us at home. And I'd like to tell you that it was ideal. It really wasn't. It was a pretty messed up thing. But you know what? There were other people that stepped up. There were people that were neighbors, and I had a teacher that really got in my life and tried to fill that role to be kind of a mom to me and help me. And throughout my life, God has added people into my life, mostly through my Christian community, that have really added and helped me in this area. And so I would just tell you, this is why mentoring and being involved and building relationships like this is so important to us as a church. It's really important in my life, because I see that, you know, even as a dad, I have 8 kids, but I've really appreciated other people in this community and other people in their lives that have encouraged them in healthy ways, and that's really important. And so make room for that to happen if your situation is not perfect. And so, you know, this is why we need the Lord. This is why we need the Lord to fill in the low spots and to level out the high spots in our lives. None of us have this figured out totally. And this is why I believe we all need a church, you know, to add and to build the soil around your life and your kids' lives. And you know, I would tell you, I'd love for this to be that community, but you're going to have to seek the Lord and figure out where He really wants you and check it out and see if it's a good fit for you. There may be someplace else, but if it isn't, maybe we can help you in that journey. And here's the other thing. There are no perfect moms. You know any perfect moms? No perfect moms, but moms are still important. There are no perfect dads. Dads are still important. There are no perfect churches, but church is still important. And there is one perfect God who is willing to has a great plan and a great purpose and great promise for your kids and for you. And if you trust Him, you'll get all that He has for you. He really wants you to have that.